No, you can go right back, that's fine.
Thank you. Hi guys, just a quick announcement. My name is Carla from International Student Volunteers. Well, you guys all know that meeting we're having this Thursday in the Student Union. If you're on travel this summer, you have the opportunity to get academic credit going overseas with a group of students for a month this summer. Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, South America, or Thailand. The first 2 weeks is volunteering. You get to do things like teaching English to kids, helping building houses for homeless families, or with endangered species like elephants, dolphins, cheetahs as well. The second 2 weeks you get to travel all over your host country and participate in awesome adventure trip activities like whitewater rafting, glacier climbing, scuba diving, the Great Barrier Reef, and wildlife safaris. So if you're interested in all the details, I'm going to pass around to sheet of paper. Just get your name and email address on here so I can email you after class with all the info, and then grab a flyer off the back as well. So I'll collect this after class, hop around the table, just pass it all the way back so everyone can grab one, and hope to see you guys on Thursday at one of the meetings. Thanks.
You can stop to ask a question. Okay, let's get started. Good afternoon. Are there any questions?
Yeah, can we fix the screens? They got both the top and the bottom. They're good. No, the image is good.
Sorry, what's the question?
There's some part of the image that's not visible over there.
So there is.
May we see?
On both.
And below.
Yeah. This is why I don't like computers. Right. We'll just make sure that what you need to see is in the visible area. The technology is acting funny because it shows fine on this screen but not on that one for some reason. Yes?
Is it possible to define a function, well, let's say maximum, that if you input maximum 1, 2, and input maximum 1, 2, 3, that in both cases it will return the maximum number? So that the number of arguments may.
Okay, I'm going to repeat the question. The question is, could you define a function that takes any number of arguments? For instance, maximum, so you could enter maximum of 1 and 2, which presumably would be 2, or maximum of 1, 3, and 2, which presumably would be 3, or what have you. Stay tuned, because that's exactly what today's lecture is about. I didn't pay him. But I'll just put that aside for one moment and see if there are any other questions. Are there any other questions? Well, let me just try this. I just happen to have Haskell up here. That's large enough for you to see, right? Okay. So in fact, Haskell has in it a function called maximum. And what I'm asking it right now is for it to tell me the type of maximum. Just make sure it's there. Yes, it says maximum takes any type A, for it says an ordering defined on A, and given a list of A, it returns an A. So in particular, ordering is defined on integers, so giving it a list of integers should return an integer. Let's try it. So will this return 2? Yes! And we want to try a longer list. So you give me a number?
6.
You give me a number?
13.
You give me a number?
-2.
You give me a number? 7. You give me a number? 43. Also 43. Good. Good. What happens if the same number appears twice in the list? Excellent.
5.
And the answer is? 43. Okay. So if you want a function that takes any number of arguments, what you have to give it is one argument, which is a list. So you've just learned one of the many uses of the list. Yes?
Do they all have to be of the same type?
Do they all have to be of the same type? Very good question. Let's try it. So, by the way, you can form lists that count like this. If you go open square bracket, number, dot, dot, some other number, close square bracket. What number have I typed there? Oh, 510, that'll be fun. There's a list of the first 510 numbers for you. So those are still all integers. What happens if we put in a list of two different sorts of things? Well, let's first try just a list of characters. That does something sort of weird. Yeah, you see that. You notice that what it's done is it's printed out as quote ABC, unquote. So there's a special name that we use in computing for lists of characters. Does anybody know what it is? That's the string. Right. So strings are normally written for convenience by saying double quote ABC, close double quote. But that just is shorthand for the list, open square bracket, quote A, unquote, comma, quote B, unquote, comma, quote C, unquote, close square bracket. Okay, so that's list of characters. And then somebody asked the very good question, can you have a list of two different sorts of things? Like a number and a character. It's busy thinking, and it says, no instance for num char. That means no. Specifically, what it means is it saw that the first thing in this list is a number, 1, and it sees the second thing and says, oh, I wonder if somebody's told me how I can view the character A as a number. Because you can do that in Haskell using type classes. And the answer is no, nobody told me how to look at this as a number. So I'm confused and I will give an error message. So no, you cannot mix different types of things in a list. Later, we will learn how to make one type that can be either of two types. So if you need to put two types in a list, that's fine. You make one type that can be either one type or the other type, and then you put those in a list. I will even, just to confuse you, show you what that looks like, but we'll return to it much later. This is just to check that I've really got this right. Let's hope this works. I'm not sure it will. Yes! So you can make up a new type that consists of both other types. So you can't do it, but by being tricky and building a new type that contains what you want, you can do it. And the important lesson there is, for almost anything in computing, there is a way to do it. You just need to know the right technology. Oh, lots of questions. Yes.
We'll ask another implicitly contained arguments in joules together view this character as an integer. Do you specifically have to say that to
Do you have to specifically do conversions? There's certain situations where you don't, but I think the easiest thing to view it as is if you need to do a conversion, just do it. Yes. Yes.
If you want to have a list of hexadecimal numbers, then how can you do that?
If you want to have a list of hexadecimal numbers, how do you do that? See me after class. Or actually, I will say, look it up in the manual, because I can't even remember the way to do hexadecimal numbers. There is a way. It's something like put an X first and then the number. But you have to look it up in the manual, because I don't remember that one. Yes? Can you have a list inside a list? What an excellent question. For it? Yes! You may have a list of lists. Absolutely. And they're very, very useful, right? Because you can do things like a list of words, which is, of course, a list of characters. Yes? Right. What's the simplest expression you can think of? The number 3. So let's type in the number 3, and it prints back the number 3. So what I'm doing here is the simplest possible thing, which is typing in data values, and it types them back. Notice if I type in a data value that isn't legal, such as something that doesn't have a type because it's a list of numbers and characters, then I get an error message. So I'm actually learning something useful from this, which is Haskell views this as something legal. And then just as also I can do things like say 3 plus 4, which of course is going to return 7, I can also do something like the list 1, 2, 3, and there's no plus operation on list, but there's something called double plus. Who knows what this is going to return? Right, it appends the two lists, so it'll make a list with all those elements. And there we go. Good question, though. Thank you. Yes?
Can you have a list of lists whose lists contain different types?
Can you have a list of lists whose lists contain different types? Well, I said we can't have a list containing different types. So let's look at that list of lists. Its elements will be lists of a given type. They must all be the same. Therefore, the elements in the list of lists must all be the same. I like the way your mind works. You are devious. Okay? But we aim for consistency in our programming languages. In fact, it follows consistently just from the rules I told you already that in a list of lists, all the elements of the list of lists must have the same type. Yes? What do you think? This is actually the most important principle in all of programming languages. You will encounter in your life many programming languages that don't follow this principle. This is the precise technical response you should have to such a language. Right? Any decent programming language will satisfy the principle that anywhere you can put an expression, you may put any expression. Okay. So we can have anywhere you can put an expression, you can have anything else. So it's a list of items. Each item is an expression. You can put any expression you want, as long as it is well typed. Yes? How can you make a complex number and a list of complex numbers? I'm going to ask you to look that one up in the manual again, but it can be done. Yes?
Can the element of the list be at least and a character or a number depending on the bits?
Okay. Could the elements of a list be a list and a character? And what do you think the answer is going to be?
No.
I mean, it's a character.
Oh, a list, sorry, a list of numbers and a list of characters.
No, meaning every time you have put lists in a list, you have put only lists, like as a whole. Can you, for example, have a list where it has a list of numbers and a number, or a list of characters and a character, like separately?
Okay, so there's a list of numbers, and let's put a number, like that. And you want to know if that will work.
Yeah.
What do people think?
No.
We'll vote. How many people vote no? How many people vote yes? Huh. How many people vote uncertain? Okay. So I will now tell you something. The type integer and the type list of integer are not the same thing. Let's vote again. How many people vote no? How many people vote yes? How many people vote unsure? Okay, let's try it. No.
What error message has it given?
Right, no instance for num list of t. Same thing, since it's also numbers, it says, well, is this list a number? And the answer is, no, it's not a number. So it says, no, you can't have 42, which is a number, and the list 1, 2 in the same list. Yes?
Is a list of integers different from a list of characters?
Is a list of integers different from a list of characters? So an integer is different from a character, and therefore a list of integers is different from a list of characters. A list of thingy and a list of foo will be the same, only if thingy is the same as foo. Yes?
Will it work if the list has both integer and floating point numbers?
Will it work if the list has both integer and floating point numbers? Yes, because Haskell knows how to treat an integer as a floating point number. So if you say 1, it actually doesn't know if you mean 1 the integer or 1 the floating point number. And it can work it out based on what's around it. So. And notice since it's decided 1 is a floating point number, it prints it as the floating point number 1.0. Yes?
You see the lowering of the list and the number. If you put the square brackets around 42 with a 3 as a list, that's just one number.
Sorry, say that again?
If you put brackets, square brackets around 42, right, with a 3 as a list, that's just one number.
Oh, very good question. Thank you. Right. If you put square brackets around 42, that returns 42. And what is that? What's the type of that? Let's ask. Colon T, square brackets 42. And it says it's a list of T where T is a number. Hasn't worked out quite that it's a float, but knows, sorry, that's an integer, but knows it's a number. So indeed, it's a list of integers, not just an integer. Thank you for asking that. This is so important, I will jump up and down so you remember it. A list containing one number is not the same thing as that number. Very important. Don't confuse the two. Yes?
Can we have an empty list?
Can we have an empty list? The very next question to ask. Absolutely. By the way, what on earth is the type of that going to be? It says it's a list of A. That means for any type A, this could be a list of A. We don't know if it's an empty list of integers or an empty list of characters, but it's an empty list of some type A. You have a follow-up question.
So it can be an element of any list of lists or whatever list they are.
So it could be a list, an element of any list of lists, no matter what list they are. Very good conclusion. Right? Empty list, list 1, 2. So there we have a list of integers, one of which is the empty list of integers. And there it's an empty list of characters. Very good. Yes? What is the value of the empty list? How long is it? So there's a special function in Haskell called length. And length, given a list of A, returns an integer. So let's find out what the length of the list 3, 2, 1 is. What's the length going to be? 3. Because it has three elements in it. And what is the length of the list 42 going to be? Good. And what is the length of the empty list going to be? Correct. Well done. Excellent. By the way, one of the first questions you'll ask ever given a question about lists is, a function on list is, what does it do with the empty list? So you've been asking exactly the right questions. There's a question over there?
Yes. Is a string the same as a list of characters?
Is a string the same as a list of characters? Exactly so. Can we find the position of a certain element in a list? Yes, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Oh, and what's the position of the first element in the list? It's position 0. We count from 0. But we'll get to that in a few days. I'm going to move on. I'm going to stop taking questions for a minute, because I want to show you some of our material. So here's something interesting. Okay, so if I want to form the list of numbers from 1 to 10, that's easy. There we go. If I want to form the squares of the list of the numbers from 1 to 10, well, we know how to square a number. X times X is a square. So we'll do this for each X drawn from the list 1 to 10. Now, some of you know programming languages like C or Java or something like that, and you know that in those you do a for loop where you first count up I from 1 to 10, and then for each element in one array, you create another array, and you put the right element there, and it's about, only 3 or 4 lines in Java or in C to do this. But in Haskell, it's a small, tiny fraction of one line. And there we go. There's the list of the squares from 1 to 10. Furthermore, let's say I wanted to find the maximum element in that list. Well, we know how to do that, right? What? The largest number of the squares from 1 to 10 is, of course, going to be 100. That's pretty dull. Let's try something more interesting. Let's find the sum of the squares of the numbers from 1 to 10. There we go. And we could even find multiply all the numbers together, and that would be the product. Yes? Could you find the mean, median, and mode of a list? Yes. Bring that up again in about 1 week when we have the right techniques. I'll show you how to do it. Now, what we can also do, let's just get our ordinary list here for a moment. Now we're just going to find the squares, not of every number x, but only of those numbers x such that x is odd. Okay? And you can also draw from more than one list at a time. So here's the list 1, sorry. Let's form the list of pairs, xy pairs. Oops. xy pairs for each x drawn from 1 to 10, and for each y drawn from the list A, B, C. This is going to be a list of number character pairs. How long will this list be? 30, right? Because there are 10 possibilities for the first position and 3 possibilities for the second position. And all of those possibilities may occur in any combination. So it's 10 times 3. Oh, well, that's a lot to work out. So let's just apply the length function and see if we were right. So these are the two, so this construct is called, how many people know what it's called? Those of you who've read ahead. Yes? The list comprehension. Okay. It was first invented by John Darlington, who was a student of Rod Burstall, who was working here at the University of Edinburgh at the time. Burstall was a professor. John Darlington was his PhD student. It was named by me before they called it things like ZF expression, which named for Zermelo and Frankel. So Zermelo and Frankel deserve some credit, but that's a very hard name to deal with. So I turned to my friend John Hughes. I was a postdoc at the time, and he was a doctoral student. I said, we have to have a better name for these things. And he said, well, with sets, they're called set comprehensions. I thought, right, we'll call it the list comprehension. And I was just a young, snotty-nosed postdoc at the time, but the name stuck. So I've not designed a feature that's in the language Python, but I have named a feature that's in the language Python, because list comprehensions are now part of Python as well. They saw a good idea, and they stole it. Good for that. This, by the way, is your job, right? Your job is to steal things, find good ideas, and appropriate them. This is what you want to do. When you do it, give appropriate credit. I don't think anywhere actually it says in the Python manual, this is list comprehensions which come from Python and were invented by John Darlington and named by Phil Wadler. I don't think it says that anywhere. But when you steal something, be sure to give appropriate credit and go out and steal. This is your job. So that's it. That's the comprehension. What questions? So you're asking lots of good questions. What questions do you have about comprehensions? Yes?
You see, parallel this way, what we're doing in set theory, but I'm assuming the order is important in these lists. In set theory, it doesn't matter what order the elements are.
Right. So this is just like set comprehensions in set theory, except as you've noticed, in a list, the order is important, whereas in a set, it is not. That's exactly the difference. Very good.
So I'll ask you a question. Let's see, if I do the list of x times x for x drawn from the empty list, what will I get?
Empty.
Okay, one person says error, one person says empty. Let's vote. How many people think it's empty? How many people think it's error? How many people think it's something else? How many people haven't raised their hand yet? Very good. Empty.
Okay. Nice and consistent. What if I say x times x for all x drawn from the list 42?
Now what will I get? The list containing 42 squared, which we all know off the top of our head is 1764.
And what if I do this one? All the odd numbers from the list containing 42.
There are no odd numbers in the list containing 42, so it just returns the empty list. Okay. Let's just review how that works in a little bit more detail. It doesn't like me. All right, this is what we will do. Now I can control the size of the window. And we'll make it a bit smaller. So now you can see everything it says. It's just a little bit tinier, which is a pain. But there we go. Make it a little bit larger. Okay. So we're looking at list comprehensions. Right, and we've got generators. You've seen all this by now. So X drawn from 1, 2, 3 is called a generator, and this backwards arrow is pronounced drawn from. And then we can put predicates in here as well. So the one you've seen is odd, but we could also do something like positive, X greater than 0. Or if we're using characters, right, 2 lower is a function on characters that converts it to lowercase, and is alpha is a function on characters that's true if it's alphabetic, but not if it's a number or punctuation. So this returns just the letters put in lowercase. And one of these things is usually called a guard. Guard is just our name for any expression whatsoever, as long as it is of type Boolean, as long as it returns true or false. Yes? How many guards may we have? Excellent question. As many as you like. So you can put 2 in a row, and both guards must be true. This would be the same as combining the guards with the ampersand, the double ampersand operator, which means and.
So
yes.
Can we use 2 guards with an or?
Can use 2 guards with an or between them. A guard is any Boolean expression whatsoever. OR is an operator that takes Boolean, 2 Booleans and returns a Boolean. Therefore, the OR of 2 Boolean expressions is itself a Boolean expression. Therefore, it works. Remember the principle I told you before? Any expression can go anywhere. Remember what I said you should do with languages that don't satisfy that principle? This is why, right? As soon as you've got a powerful operator like OR, you can use it anywhere you want, even in a guard. This follows immediately from this principle. Right? So it was a good question to ask. You're quite right, because many programming languages don't satisfy this excellent principle, and you do need to ask questions like that. But in any programming language that does satisfy the principle that you can put any expression anywhere, as long as it has the right type, you don't need to ask questions like that. So it was a good question. Thank you. Yes? What happens if you put 2 guards that conflict with each other? Let's try it. Okay, let's not try it. Everybody figured out the answer already. Right? We're going to find the list of all x for x drawn from some list such that x is greater than 0 and x is less than 0. So you know what the answer is going to be, the empty list. Notice that the answer is the empty list. The answer is not the computer saying, "You stupid person." That will always be the empty list. No, it just goes through and always says, well, let's look at x. Is x greater than 0? Let's say x is 3. Yes, 3 is greater than 0. And then it stops and says, okay, that doesn't go in. Let's look at minus 3. Say that was the next element in the list. Is minus 3 greater than 0? No, so that doesn't go in the list. And for each number it gets, right, it's always going to get false on one of the two, and it will throw it out. And so when it's all done, it says, oh, none of them work, too bad, empty list. But it never says, oh, look, you've got 2 tests here, and they can't both be true at the same time. You might want it to do that, but it won't. The computer is stupid, so it lets you be stupid. And I showed you that we have operations like sum and product, and we've also seen length. And notice that now we can do things like, say, let factorial of n be the product of the numbers from 1 to n. So So that's a very quick and easy way of defining the factorial function. How many of you know what the factorial function is? How many don't know? There are a few of you who didn't know before. It's something from mathematics, and you do know what it is now. It's the product of the numbers from 1 to n. And I just want to show you the way that the stupid computer works with this, so that you can understand what this looks like from a stupid computer's point of view. So we want to find the squares of the list 1, 2, 3. So what does the stupid computer do? It looks at, here's the definition of squares. Squares of x's is this thingy here. So x's is the list 1, 2, 3, so I just copy out this thingy here with x's replaced by 1, 2, 3. And I get that. And notice here I've made a note saying the correspondence between the formal parameter x's and the actual parameter 1, 2, 3. So now we're going to form x times x for each x drawn from the list 1, 2, 3. Oh boy, it's a comprehension. I can do the whole thing at once. Zush! Here we go. Zush! So first, x is 1, and then x is 2, and then x is 3. So notice that x here is behaving a lot like what we call a formal parameter. And in particular, that means the name isn't important as long as it's consistent. So if I said y times y for y drawn from 1, 2, 3, it does just exactly the same thing. If I say Zoroaster times Zoroaster for Zoroaster drawn from 1, 2, 3, it does just the same thing. You can pick any name you want. Yes? The program will always take the numbers from the list in the order in which they're given. It preserves the order of the list. That's very important.
So is there any way to change that?
You could change the order of the original list. So it's worked out. X times X is 1 times 1, and then 2 times 2, and 3 times 3. And what it puts between these things is this double plus, which we saw, remember, that's append. So here we have three lists, each of length 1. And it works out that that's the list 1, and the list 4, and the list 9. And of course, if you append them, you get the list 1, 4, 9. Okay? It's very straightforward. Similarly, if you want to select all the odd elements from a list, here's what it does. Well, first it gets excited because it's got an expression to evaluate. Okay, odds of 1, 2, 3. Odds is defined here, so x is the formal parameter, and the actual is 1, 2, 3. So now I've got x for x drawn from 1, 2, 3, such that odd of x. And again, x here is, again, just a formal parameter, so you can change it consistently. So if I said a for a drawn from 1, 2, 3, such that odd of a, that means the same thing. So now what's it going to do? Well, it does just what it did before, and it drops out the generator, doing it three times, since it's a list of length 3, replacing it first by 1, then by 2, then by 3, and appends the results. Notice that we've got a very weird comprehension here. The list of all 1 such that odd of 1. The list of all 2 such that odd of 2. A very odd list indeed. And the list of all 3 such that odd of 3. So what is the list of all 1 such that odd of 1? Well, let's not even work that out first, right? We're a stupid computer. Right? So the first thing it does says, well, I need to know if this is true or false. Let's see, is 1 odd? That's true! There you go. Is 2 odd? No, that's false. Is 3 odd? That's true. So now we have the list of all 1 such that true. And the list of all 2 such that false. and the list of three such that true. So what do you think the list of one such that true is going to be? And what do you think the list of two such that false is going to be? Empty list. And the list of three such that true? The list three. Right? Some of you just said three, which is close to right, but it's actually the list containing three. Of course, it's very natural to say three, but we need to keep single elements and list containing elements separate. So this will be the list containing three. So we get list containing one plus the empty list plus the list containing three. And of course, that's the list 1, 3, as you would have expected. So now you know the very stupid steps that the computer actually goes through to get an answer. So now if we put it all together to do something like the sum of the squares of the odd numbers in a list, well, now there are actually two ways we could define this, right? I could say f of x is the sum of the squares of the odd numbers in the list, because squares and odds were these functions I defined before, right? Right, so there's the definition of squares. Square of x's is x times x for x drawn from x's. And odds is the list of all x for x drawn from x's such that odd of x. So we've defined two functions, squares and odds. And so if we want to find the sum of the squares of the odd numbers in the list, we can just write the sum of the squares of the odd numbers in the list x's. So odds of x's is going to return a list. Squares will square every element in that list, returning a new list, and then sum will add up the elements in that list, returning a number. Or we could just write it as a comprehension all at once. The sum of x times x for x drawn from x's such that odd of x. So these two different ways of writing it will both do the same thing. Question?
Which one is more efficient?
Yes. The comprehension seems to be a bit more efficient because it's expanded everything out. You'd actually have to measure it to find out, because I think the Haskell compiler is so clever that it knows to take those and expand them out and simplify it like that. So I suspect, in fact, neither is more efficient in the Haskell compiler. But you can measure it and find out. So that's a good question. Which is more efficient? How often do you care about that question? How many people think that's a really important question? I care about that a lot. How many people think, well, sometimes it's important, but not too often? A few of you. The answer is, only sometimes is it important. But most people who work with computers think it's always important. There's actually a much more important question that you ask first. Does anybody know what the more important question is? Does it work? Yes, very good question. That's the most important question, and there's a closely related question, which was the one I had in mind, but probably does it work is the one I should have been thinking of. Is it clear? Is it readable? Can somebody else comprehend it? Very important. Absolutely important, right? The first couple of years that you do programming, you're going to be writing programs for yourself. You're the only person who needs to read them. When you become a professional programmer, if you do, and many of you will be writing programs that are parts of very large systems. Right? Many of you use the Windows operating system. That is millions and millions of lines of code. The DICE system that we use, the Unix system, again, millions of lines of code, contributed by thousands of programmers. So a person once put it this way, I think this is a good idea. When you write a programmer, pretend that the next person who has to read it is a psychopath who knows where you live. In other words, don't make that other person angry. Write a program that they will read and love. Make your programs easy to read. This is the most important thing. You want your programs to be easy to read. Then, once they're easy to read, you can worry about efficiency. And the answer is, you don't need to worry about efficiency that much most of the time. Computers are fast, right? If it runs the program in 1 second or a tenth of a second, do you care? Yes. Why? You don't know.
I have 286.
Yeah, but if a 286 can run it in 1 second rather than a tenth of a second, do you care?
No.
Normally, between a second and a tenth of a second, you won't care. Say you are running the same program millions of times because you're Google and you're answering millions of queries that people are asking you. Then the difference between a second and a tenth of a second matters quite a bit. And then it turns out, okay, if you measure a program, you will find that if you have a program of 1,000 lines, it is probably less than 100 of them where the program spends almost all of its time. So you want to find that core of the program where it's spending a lot of time and make that run fast, and that's all you need to do. You don't need to worry about the rest, which is executed hardly at all. So there are times when efficiency is important. Don't lose sight of that. But for the most part, the important thing is clarity. And so we're going to focus on clarity. Now, which of these two is clearer? Well, it depends. If you're using squares and odds a lot other places in the program, then this one might be clearer. On the other hand, if you're just doing it once, this is probably clearer. So it depends a little bit on how you're doing it. But generally, don't make lots of small definitions if you don't need to. So most of the time, if I wrote it in a program, I would use the second one. And then there's some other questions we could ask. Is it correct? Right? We expect these to do the same thing. So if we want to know if it's correct, we might check. If these do both do the same thing, if they always return exactly the same answer, then we can think it's much more likely that we've got it right. And what tool would we use to check that?
Quick check.
So we could write a quick check property to check if these two things were doing the same thing. Even more, so they point out, well, but that's just testing. How do you know it's always the same? We could actually prove it. And there will be chapters in your textbook that talk about how you prove these are the same. And I think I'll give a lecture on that as well. Same people are always asking questions. Somebody who hasn't asked a question before, ask a question. Yes?
Do you write the composition as sum dot squares dot odds?
Ah, right, you've read ahead in the book. Could we write the composition as sum dot squares dot odds? Yes, that also works. So here it is computing sum of squares of odds. Right, so f it knows is going to be sum of squares of odds of 1, 2, 3, and that computes odds. Right, the odds in the list are the list 1, 3. It computes the squares in the list 1, 3 is 1, 9, and then computes the sum, which is 10. On the other hand, if it's the other definition, right, it first substitutes in 1, 2, 3. It expands out, so we get 1 times 1 for odd of such that odd of 1, and 2 times 2 such that odd of 2, and 3 times 3 such that odd of 3. And it works out again that odd of 1 is true, odd of 2 is false, odd of 3 is true. And it works out that 1 squared is 1, 2 squared is 4, and 3 squared is 9. So now we've got the sum of 1 such that true, that's 1, appended to 4 such that false, that's empty, appended to 9 such that it's true, that's 9. That computes, it appends those together, gives us the sum of 1 and 9, which is 10. Wait a minute. How do you define sum? Excellent question, but we won't deal with that today. We'll deal with that tomorrow. But I did see a hand.
Yeah, it's supposed to return an integer, right? It's written integers, integer list.
Oh, very good. You've noticed that there's a typo here, and this says square bracket of integer, list of integer, when it should say integer. Right. And before I said, do not confuse integer with a list of integer, and there I've done it. Good thing that if I type this into a computer, it would give me a type error and tell me that I've made a mistake. Thank you for catching that. Can use guards to filter the results that are displayed. Well, if what you're displaying is a list, you can use a guard to filter down that list. We'll talk about other ways of converting lists into strings for display later. And then, of course, we could use quick check.